I'm sat in the pub connected to Forest, which is obviously where the Do Lectures is and where all these recordings have been spilling out from. I'm in the pub with James Bridle, and I've just realised I haven't bought you a beer yet. How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. A little thirsty, but otherwise good.
What were you talking about here?
I was talking about books and all the books that I've ever made, really. So I wanted to go back quite a long way and tell the story of a long process of making that's kind of got me to here in order to tell myself the story as much as anyone else of kind of what maybe I might do next.
It was fascinating to see how much detail you put into some of your really, really early stuff. The contents pages, the logo, publisher's logo. How old were you when you were doing that?
The very first one, I think I was about six. The one with quite as much metadata, I think I was probably 9 or 10.
The metadata that was longer than the story.
Yes, absolutely. I was already the publisher of those things rather than the writer. I think that was where my heart was.
So many conferences and think tanks and people trying to work out the future of publishing, the future of the physical book in itself. Can you give us a snippet on what you think is going to happen? Because some of the stuff you've done has become artistic centerpieces in itself. When you printed like a towering set of volumes of the Britannica, the adjustments and changes that had occurred to a single document on Wikipedia on the Iraq War, you weren't doing it to sell it, were you, really?
No, it's always been a kind of process of trying to understand these things by making them. You kind of only really have a deep understanding of these things when you actually do them and you understand the processes that are required. And in the doing of that, you then understand more of it. So, like, the thing has to be done. And you usually have a reason for doing it in the first place. You have a reason for continuing it, and you discover whole new reasons for having done it once you're done.
So you showed some beautiful objects, which were books. They had great covers, I imagine awesome tactility, some print on demand because urgency and immediacy, you know, being important nowadays. Yet you're okay with the Kindle?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, all these things are ways of understanding the idea of the book. By putting it into a physical form, you can draw out certain qualities of this kind of idealized book. For me, the book is not a purely physical object, and it's not a purely digital object. It's always a process of negotiation between writer and reader and all the social things that happen around that and the experiences we have with books. They are never just physical objects. And never just digital ones. There's a whole bunch of other things going on there. And you only really understand that if you kind of constantly move between the different formats and see what sticks and what's different in each one.
Okay, here's a business model for you. If it's really good, no one's going to hear this audio boo. One thing I miss is the book cover. There are some faux book covers you can get for Kindles. Wouldn't it be great to create an open source design for a book cover that folds around my Kindle, yet the moment I buy the ebook from you, I give you my email address, and you post me a paper cover that I can slot into it.
Yeah, the kind of cover debate goes on and on. It's a really interesting one. I know it bothers a lot of people. The one you hear as well is that you can't get, you know, chat someone up in a cafe who's reading a Kindle because you don't know what they're reading. It's a really powerful kind of social thing. But like there's tons of stuff that's kind of gone that way. People kind of complain about album covers, but There'll still be an art to creating those things and connection to them, but they belong in the physical world, and there's other qualities of the book that I think are more important immediately to transfer to the digital, which are around kind of note-taking and mark-making in the book itself.
The pub door opens, and the man comes in to buy us both a beer for disturbing the silence. How you doing? Can I have an audio jack that will fit in there?
Yeah, that's what I need.
Cool, nice one. Thanks, man. Onward. So I've got a little LED scrolling badge, cheesy thing it is, yeah. But now I've just realised how great that would be on the back of my Kindle so people know what I'm reading.
Yeah, absolutely. And people do put paper jackets on these things. And actually, the other thing that they do is they put the wrong cover on books. Like that, what's something that people have done forever and no one talks about, which is that they'll put the kind of impressive-looking hardback jacket on whatever kind of racy or cheap novel that they're reading. These things are always social displays, anything that's kind of pointed outward in that way. And yeah, we're going to have to think of ways to replace those, absolutely. But it will be something slightly different, I'm quite sure.
What's your thoughts on DRM? And there's been more and more companies freeing books up. with DRM on them.
Yeah, it's going to get interesting. I think it's the next level in this kind of ongoing war between publishers and Amazon in particular, in that several of the large publishers are starting to talk about dropping DRM, and that feels like something, a way that they could, a way they can kind of get back at Amazon to some extent. It's naturally what will kind of happen once we kind of get over the stage of being restrictive about selling books and make it easier for people to buy books. We've seen in all these models that the better you make your sales processes, the less people worry about piracy. It's just stupid industries that haven't caught up with that yet, and that's naturally going to happen at some point in the future.
How are you going to future-proof your job? Are you perceived as a middleman at the moment?
I'm kind of perceived as Cassandra. I've been saying the same things about the future for some time, but no one listens, which is fine and lovely and all good. And I'm quite happy with that. I'm just going to keep on doing what I'm doing. Like, books are always at the root of everything that I do. They're not going to go away. They may change form in all kinds of ways, but as long as I get to carry on being with them, having experiences with them, and sometimes making them, I'm going to be quite happy.
James, where can people go to find out more about what you do and your future projects?
Book2.org is the best place to go to. That's where I put all my writing and where you find all kinds of things.
Say that again.
Book2.org.
With the number two?
With the letters TWO.
Okay. James, thank you very much. Can I get you a beer?
Yes, you certainly can. Thank you.